Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So, I believe this is my fourth time as a pastor on Maundy Thursday. Have any of you ever heard of the lectionary? Have you heard that word used before? It's a fancy word. It just refers to the readings that we use on a Sunday, or in this case, on a Thursday. The set of readings that rotate every few years. Okay? The version we use is called the Revised Common Lectionary. The word lectionary just refers to these readings, this cycle. The common is because we aren't the only ones who use it. Many other church groups do as well. The revised, as you can guess, is because at one point it was revised. Which I actually sometimes wonder, what will they do if they revise it again? The newly revised Common Lectionary. I don't know. You ever think about that? That's a good question. The three-year cycle that we use. A year where we primarily talk about Matthew, a year where we primarily talk about Mark, and one we primarily talk about Luke. It shows up periodically, especially in the year of Mark, because Mark is a short book. And John shows up a lot on special days like today. In fact, on Maundy Thursday, John always shows up, because John is the only one who talks to us about the foot washing. Matthew, Mark, and Luke do not. They, of course, depict the Last Supper, the sharing of bread and wine. That means that now, after being a pastor for 4 years, as well as preaching on it on internship, when I was doing contextual ed in seminary, as well as at my home congregation, and once pinch hitting for my mother-in-law, I believe this is my eighth time preaching on this exact reading. I'm not saying it's old. It doesn't. You always find new things. But it can be challenging at times to look at something like this time and time again and find new ways of exploring it, of relating to it. And yet, as God so often does, God provides. Let me explain. What are we going to do after I finish this? After I finish this brief little message? Do you know?
Wash.
We're going to wash. That's what all this stuff's right here for. Why? To remember? Wash away our sins? We're going to take a moment as a community to come up here and share something together. I dare say share something intimate. Some churches, they still do the foot washing as opposed to hands. I think practically speaking, there are some good reasons not to do that. I think, to be candid, for some people it gets harder to get down there. Or maybe it's harder to get back up. Is the real challenge. Some congregations don't do it at all. Some churches, only a couple people get washed. I hear the Pope this year is going to wash some prisoners' feet. I thought that was interesting. I know that many of his predecessors have only washed the feet of other clergy. So I find that really interesting that he's going that road. The washing, of course, reminds us of the reading. It's one of the reasons why we do it. It connects us together. That's another reason why we do it. It's abnormal. It's kind of weird, let's be honest. It stands out. It's not something we do every week. I think that's another reason we do it. What did Peter say when Jesus tried to wash him? Why did he say no?
Because he got
the meaning for Christ? I think you're right. I think that's a big part of it.
Did you notice how he's referred to during that?
Simon Peter.
Simon Peter. He says no. What's he called then?
Just Peter.
What's the name Peter mean? It means rock.
I find it interesting.
It might just be a decision by John as he's telling the story. I don't know. But I find it interesting that throughout the book of John, he usually refers to Peter as Simon Peter. He usually takes both names and puts them together. Except for moments like this, where Peter comes up short. And oftentimes in those moments, he refers to him as just Peter. The fallible rock. I like it. The rock on which the church will be founded. And it's emphasized that that's when he's falling short. What are the last words in that reading tonight? Mm-hmm. You know how many words there are for love in Greek? There are five, at least. There is philios, which is basically brotherly love. Or I should say, the love you have for someone with whom you were fond of, that kind of affection. The name Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. There's eros, where we get the word erotic, but which really just has to do with more passionate, romantic type love. There is storge, which has to do with the love you might feel for a dependent, like a parent for a child. There's mania, which is more like obsession. You've all heard of maniacs. And there's agape, divine love, pure love, love for the sake of love, love for the sake of the other, love without any expectation, love without any expectation that you will receive anything in return. Can you guess which word Jesus uses at that point? Agape. Every time in this reading that he talks about love, that's the word he uses, agape, or some derivation. I give you a new commandment, that you agape one another. Where is it? Just as I have agape you, you also should agape one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have agape for one another. You remember that part in the Bible where Jesus asks Peter, Simon, do you love me? Simon Peter, do you love me? Does that ring a bell? It's the end of the Gospel of John. If this isn't ringing a bell, I'll quickly explain. There's other parts you lost, and I apologize. It's the end of John. Jesus has come back, and he says to Simon Peter, do you love me? And Jesus said, or Simon says, Peter says, whatever you want to call him, the rock guy. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. And then he asks him again, do you love me? He says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He says, tend my flock. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lambs. Something like that. I forget the order. But you know what he says in Greek? Do you agape me? And you know what Peter says in his response? Yes, Lord, you know that I philios you. Do you agape me? Yes, Lord, you know that I philios you. Do you philios me? Yes, Lord, I philios you. And Peter weeps. Jesus gave them one commandment. One. I give you one new thing to do. My parting request. Following this dinner, he will be arrested. He will be tried. He will be convicted. He will be executed. His final request.
Not so much.
Do you know what tonight is? What's the name of tonight? Maundy Thursday. Let's all say that together. Maundy Thursday. Not Monday Thursday. Maundy. You know what that means? From the same root as the word mandate. Commandment. What's the commandment?
Love
one another. Agape one another. That's the whole point. The whole point to tonight is the whole point to the Christian faith. All of it. All the stuff we do. When we gather together on a Sunday, when the quilters gather on a Wednesday, when people come to the food bank and Judy hands out something to them. There's preparations for sock drives. We welcome strangers to the door we've never seen before. We don't know if we'll ever see them again. All of them. It's all about one word. Forgot that. Love for the sake of loving. Love for the sake of the fact that the other person is there. That they exist. With no expectation that something will come in return. It's not fancy.
It's not complicated.
I can't help but think that that's why Peter was so upset in many ways about having his foot washed. It wasn't just about the action. It wasn't just about Jesus saying, I'm going to do this. Peter wanting to say, I'm a little uncomfortable with everything that's been going on, Jesus. My comfort zone is this big. You're more out here somewhere. Would you please turn it down a notch? Tonight, I'm going to finish in a sec. We're going to wash some hands. We're going to join together in communion. Celebrate the grace of Christ in our lives and in this world. And when we leave, when we depart, I would just ask you to hold one thing in your head. That Christ has given us a new commandment that we agape one another, that we love one another and we love those around us simply for the sake of the fact that they exist without any preconditions, any expectations. Because guess what? He told us that's what we're supposed to. Let us pray.
Holy, good, and gracious God, you move through this world in ways that defy all of our attempts at understanding. You challenge us with commands and goals that are beyond our capacity. And yet we ask you tonight and always to help us to do our best. Help us to strive to show the kind of love that you have commanded us to do. To be emissaries of your will in this world. Examples of your love in this creation. Bless us tonight and always. Help us to be witnesses to you in all that we say and all that we do. And in your most holy name we pray. Amen.